Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Tool Shed on Colonial Sports Network and also now on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I'm Austin Bechtold with my boys, as always, Ethan Morrison, Nick Hederick, and Tyler Gallo. And this week was a rough one for the Colonials, dropping games on the road in Chicago against UIC. Friday's game, a blowout loss, it turned out to be, 67-53 with UIC taking that one. And again, on Saturday, a closer margin in overtime, the Colonials fall to the Flames 66-62. RMU now 2-3 in the Horizon League, 3-5 overall. And the basis of the games were the offense struggling at various points in time, both in game one and in game two of the series. And Ethan, especially in game two, the offense just kind of fell apart, especially going into overtime.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make this excuse, but they haven't played in 2 weeks because of COVID protocol, because they were out with COVID, positive COVID-19 test. I don't want to make that excuse, but yeah, the offense was sluggish throughout that whole series. I just felt like they weren't totally in sync. Shot selection was off a bit here and there throughout the games. They were forcing up some shots they didn't really have to. They could have moved the ball around a little bit more. I really think one thing we need to point out here is their three-point shots. Friday night, they've only made one, and that was on a Cam Ferris three-pointer where he turned it into a four-point play and he got fouled. That was their only three-point field goal Friday night. Saturday, they only hit two more, so they had three throughout the whole entire series. Saturday, you could kind of see them shy away from that three-point shot, making their guard, like Dante Tracy, drive in the lane and then try to dish it off to one of the big men. But we kind of saw that three-point shot shy away, and that's kind of one of the main ways the Colonials get their offense. I mean, they made 12 three-point shots in the last series, in the last game against Milwaukee. So USC did a great job taking away that three-point shot, and they did a really good job of that, and that's where I really saw the Colonial offense falter.
Yeah, Tyler, Colonials from three in game one were 1-for-14. That comes out to 7%. 7%.
Yeah, that's not something that they can continue going forward. They need to figure out how to get the shots from better angles on the outside. They were really forcing up shots from bad opportunities, and really that's what was their downfall in these two games. They also got into a little bit of dumb foul trouble, especially down the stretch. They had points where they could get the game in their possession, get the game, get the lead, but they took a foul or they went out of bounds or the passes just weren't on mark, and that's sort of just what was their downfall in these two games.
Yeah, and foul shooting, especially a problem. First game, when the Colonials really needed to put any points on the board that they could, 16-for-23, that comes out to 69.6%. And the foul shooting with more opportunities got worse in game two, 22-of-33. That makes out for only 66.7%. So a little bit of a drop off from the first game to the second game of the series. Nick, what did you think of the team's performance just overall this weekend?
Well, as both Tyler and Ethan touched on, I think it was a bit expected in game one, game two, obviously. Things still were not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but the fact that they competed, forced it to overtime, it showed that they sort of got in a rhythm. But the fact of the matter is this: you can't win modern day basketball games when you don't have any sort of 3-point shooting. And they cannot continue to put this whole load on the back of AJ Brahma, who has now had three straight double doubles. But you cannot rely on him to win you games solely by himself. You need guys like Dante Tracy, John Williams to step up and start making some shots when it matters. Dante Tracy was, 2-for-14 on Saturday and 0-for-5 on Friday? Yep. Him and John Williams combined were 0-for-6 one day, which I know that means one of them only took one shot on Friday. But, I mean, you need to find ways to get those guys who are good shooters into a rhythm, get them confident, and get them scoring again. Because without that aspect of this team, I don't see them doing really much of anything. And hopefully now we can finally get a good stretch where they play a lot of games in a row and get in a rhythm. But until that does happen, I think they're in trouble. They're in trouble, I think, until they can find a way to stop relying on AJ Brahma. And Brahma didn't shoot particularly lights out. He's taken a lot of weird mid-range jumpers, turnaround jumpers. They need to straighten things out in terms of shot selection and have a have a conversation about, you know, maybe making the extra pass, slowing things down, especially after UIC makes a run. They would go down and take an ill-advised three, take a weird jumper that didn't really look like they needed to take it, instead of maybe making an extra pass, moving it around a bit, finding the open guy. And I know I rambled there, but believe me, Bechtold, I've had this bottled up for a very long time and really wanted to discuss this. So sorry I talked your ear off there, but I think there's a lot to take away, and it's a very – very critical time for this season for this team to figure out what they're going to do going forward.
Oh, they need to figure this out now because they got a tough stretch coming up. They got Northern Kentucky, Wright State, and then they got Youngstown State. Those teams are a very, very good shooting team. They're teams that could easily beat the Colonials with how they performed this weekend on the offensive side of the ball. So this stuff, they need to work it out in practice this week. Going to Northern Kentucky with a better mindset, being able to utilize that three-point shot, make some more three-point shots, and get the offense rolling again like we saw against Milwaukee and Purdue Fort Wayne earlier on in conference play.
Yeah, and those teams that you mentioned, Ethan, they're pretty good. I mean, UIC is a decent team, but compared to those teams, UIC is not the biggest opponent that the Colonials want to lose to. I know it's a road game off for 2 weeks, and the struggles are starting to mount a little bit with the unfamiliarity of the conference combined with the COVID protocols that have been put in place with, you know, Tracy and John Williams having to come back after not playing in a long time, after being out a couple weeks ago. And, you know, it's starting to see with their performances. Breaking down game one just a little bit more in detail, Brahma had 19 points and 14 boards. And as you guys mentioned, really nobody else was a factor. Trayden Williams was the only other member of the Colonials to shoot the ball 10 times or more.
If I can interject, we need to talk about the performance of Charles Bain, who I've always given Charles Bain the benefit of the doubt, but this weekend was very concerning seeing the shots he took and that he continued to take despite missing several of similar styled shots earlier on in the game.
Well, especially in the second half, the last couple minutes of the second game of the series, there's just multiple plays that he was making that you just continue to just scratch your head at. And you say, Bain, what are you doing? And now he was in foul trouble throughout the whole entire game in that second game. And again, he just has not been a factor whatsoever. In game one, 1-7 shooting, he only recorded 3 points. And in game two, was left off the stat sheet, 0-2 overall from the field. No rebounds, no assists, no nothing. He's been basically a non-factor for this team and was supposed to be a pretty significant player in the starting lineup.
Look, I liked Bain, especially in his earlier years with Robert Morris, especially his freshman and sophomore year. You saw him kind of stretch the floor a lot more. And now you saw it in his junior year and now even more in his senior season, where those three-point shots weren't falling as they were in his freshman and sophomore year. I don't know what the main cause of that was, but it's something that has really hurt this Colonial offense.
And this is a team that does not have a lot of height.
Yeah.
They need to find a way to get these guards open looks. And again, as I touched on earlier, whether it's making the open pass, whether it's talking to them about discipline, taking better shots, but this is a team that's very guard heavy in my opinion. And they haven't looked like they're a guard heavy team with those shooting numbers over the weekend. So something needs to be done here.
Right, I agree, but the guards are just not performing as well. Dante Tracy, John Williams, no points combined, shooting 0-for-5 from the field in game one. In game two, again, non-factors. Couldn't find those guys out there at all. 6 points for Tracy, 4 points for Williams. Tracy shot 2-for-14 from the field in game two, in a game that you lost by 4 in overtime. The margin for error there, I just don't understand how after – he just continued to get better and better throughout the NEC last year, winning the NEC tournament and being named the MVP, how he's playing like this. I don't get it.
I don't either. It's weird to see, because Dante Tracy going into this season, everyone talked about that game and the NEC championship, and that was his real coming out party. And now this year he was going to be consistently dominant with Brahma, and I haven't seen a lot from Dante Tracy, whose game I've loved. And again, I don't want to come off as me sitting here in my dorm room criticizing him.
Right. But it's not like John Williams.
I think we know he's capable of doing more, and it's weird that he hasn't done more yet. And now we're getting to the stages of, is he going to ever start doing more?
Right. Tyler, and we know Dante Tracy's good. I mean, we saw the spectacular performance he put on in the championship game against St. Francis. We know John Williams is good. Like, we know these guys can play. It's just, why aren't they getting the job done right now?
Well, I think for these guys, well, both of these guys were held out, obviously, of the last Milwaukee game. And then, you know, they shut down for 2 weeks. So that may have a little bit on it. Also, not really getting into a rhythm with practice could really be affecting these guys, because they are guys that thrive on being able to move the ball around, because they're two very good playmakers for this team, and they haven't been able to do that, especially being held out. I think Tracy, I mean, with him, he's just not getting he's not getting to the open space to shoot. That's really, he's trying to get in and make the fancy pass, get in and try to get a quick shot, but he's getting covered pretty much every time. Meanwhile, John Williams is just not shooting at all. Like, he shot a ton in the first game against Point Park, which, I mean, who didn't? But, and then they moved on to these tougher opponents, and he just didn't really shoot at all. And he's not getting the open looks that he normally gets. So I think that's really having an effect on him too. When he's not having that opportunity to shoot, there's really much, he's a non-factor, and so is Dante Tracy.
Tracy has found some ways to be able to still get involved with the offense. Did have 7 assists in the second game of the series that RMU dropped to the Flames. But if there's one player outside of John Williams and Dante Tracy, we know AJ Brahma is balling out right now, playing phenomenal. Who would you guys, and we'll start with Ethan, who would you guys target as a guy that has to be a breakout player for this team and, you know, really start to just continue to improve this season to be a force alongside of Brahma?
It's going to have to be Khalil Spear. I think he's a guy that can really fill in Charles Bane's role, because we've seen him. He's been able to stretch the floor with what he played with Bucknell the past 2 seasons before he transferred over to Robert Morris. I think he's one of the guys. He's an explosive guy as well. Great defender. We saw him block a couple of shots against UIC. We saw him earlier in conference play be a big force on the defensive end. So I think he's another guy that can help out Brahma down low, as well as be that guy that can find his shot outside.
And I would say Charles Bane, and I know that might be not the answer we're looking for, because we were talking about some of these newer guys, I think is where you're taking that. But here you have a veteran guy on a team with a lot of young guys and some transfers like the aforementioned Khalil Spear. You need him to step up here. And he stepped up earlier in his career with RMU. And now in this veteran role, I think, and especially if he's getting the minutes, getting the freedom to take the shots that he's been taking, he needs to make more out of these opportunities and kind of lead by example, I think. And we know he's capable of it, but I think he needs to step into that role now and really start showing what he's capable of doing, which has been the theme of about everyone we've talked about today.
Yeah, for me, I think a guy that actually has gotten a lot of chances down low and gets open but just hasn't been able to really take off a bit is Cameron Wilbon. I mean, he's a guy that came back from injury, obviously, last season. Wilbon is a guy that pretty much Tracy's and Williams' opportunities that they normally had when they would get open are now sort of being transferred onto him as they go through their respective slumps. And I think that Wilbon just needs to be able to bury some of these chances that he's getting down low, because he's getting a lot of them, but he's just not finishing them. And then, you know, Brahma will come in and tip in his shots or stuff like that. But I think he's a guy that could definitely step up and really make this team succeed.
Yeah, Tyler and Ethan really hit on my two guys. Wilbon, I think, is a slasher that, you know, he can move the ball around. He's got a good shot. He can rebound the ball. You just really wonder why it really hasn't come together for him yet. And Spear was second on the team in points in both games behind Brahma, with 8 in game 1 and 10 in game 2. So those are my two guys to look at, some guys that can, you know, hopefully complement Brahma and see where the offense can go from here. But we're going to take a break here on the Tool Shed on the Colonial Sports Network, and also now on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. When we come back, we will preview the Colonials' upcoming matchup against Northern Kentucky. We'll be right back. Back from break here on the Tool Shed on Colonial Sports Network and also on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Colonials taking on Northern Kentucky at the UPMC Event Center next weekend, January 22nd to the 23rd, with tip-off times at 7 o'clock and 5 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. And Northern Kentucky coming into this game around the same spot as the Colonials, 5-8 overall and 3-5 overall in conference. Ethan, what are your keys to the game, and is there anybody specifically that you're looking forward to that you think can take a massive step up and help the Colonials be able to win their third Horizon League game?
Well, to start off, I mean, we've been harping on it this whole episode, but it's just going to be the three-point shooting. It's something that needs to be improved. I mean, that's where a lot of the points for the Colonials have come by other than AJ Brahma, who's been playing phenomenal. Who I would like to see kind of take a step up here would be Enoch Cheeks. We haven't seen him a lot. We didn't see him at all this weekend against UIC. I don't know why. He's a great defender on the perimeter. I would like to see him be out there a little bit more. I think he's still trying to find his shot a little bit more, but I feel like inserting him into the lineup, maybe we'll get a kind of spark and maybe help that shooting a little bit more. So I think seeing him out there will help propel the Colonials to get back into the win column.
Yeah, Enoch Cheeks going from the starting lineup to not even being in the lineup. We'll see how that plays out. Nick, what are your thoughts with this matchup with, like I said, RMU and Northern Kentucky about in the middle portion of the standings with Cleveland State and Wright State, who battled this past weekend at the top of the standings?
You know, I think it's an important game, obviously, when you have people upcoming on your schedule that are towards the top of the ladder in the Horizon League. I think you need to make the most out of this series. It's a team they're reasonably even keeled with in terms of standings and on paper. I just think it's very important that they, again, just work out the kinks that we talked about. And I think in terms of keys to the game, the main key has just got to be that discipline and taking the right shots and not forcing shots, especially when another team has momentum. You can't play into that momentum and take bad shots when you're on the offensive end. You've got to make sure you're making the most of all your opportunities. And I think that's what this game is going to come down to. Well, games, I should say.
Tyler, what are you looking forward to for this matchup for the Colonials finally getting back at home?
Well, the guy that I forgot to mention earlier when I was talking about Cameron Wilbon is a freshman, obviously. Pat Sumnick, who I've really, really liked watching play this season. Granted, he's fouled out of a couple of games and really hasn't made too much of an impact. But when he has made an impact, it's been pretty big. And I think he can take a step up in this series, playing some good defense down low. It's aggressive defense, but it's been good defense nonetheless. And if he can get down low and get some more shots in, he can succeed and maybe help this team knock off Northern Kentucky, Because if they're playing these teams that are around them, if they get a win, they can jockey it for position in this conference, get a couple of spots up. Or if they lose, they'll move a couple spots down. It's really just interchangeable at this moment.
I want to see the Colonials play a fast, up-tempo offense. And even though he struggled with his shot this year, I think Traden Williams can really help the offense to be able to do this. He likes to play fast. He likes to play up-tempo, and I think that if you can get the ball in his hands, as long as he's distributing the ball a little bit more than he's shooting it, a little bit more effective that way, I think that one key could be Traden Williams, because, you know, the offense looks a little bit slow at times, and I feel if you could play a fast-tempo offense, against a team that's pretty even with you, I'd like to say, in Northern Kentucky. So I think start out fast, keep playing fast. You play a lot of guys, so you should be able to keep that up-tempo going and keep guys fresh. So that's my key to the game, and I think, you know, what are your guys' predictions? I think that this is going to be at least a split for RMU, maybe even two games that the Colonials will be able to take this weekend, next weekend coming up.
I think a split, too. I know I have been on the split train. If that's a phrase that we're going to stick with, I don't like it, so let's not. But I think it'll be a split. I think they'll work things out. I'm going to say they drop Friday, win Saturday. I think Saturday it'll all come together for them. But I think, again, we'll see more of the Friday struggles.
Yeah, I have to feel the same way as Nick. They'll lose Friday, but they'll find a way to figure things out Saturday, kind of get back into that stretch where we saw earlier in conference play where they strung together a pretty good game against Milwaukee. Play more like that. Play a more cohesive game. More cohesive as a team.
I mean, well, I could see them splitting it. I could also see them winning both and or losing both. It's really, it could go either way. But granted, a team like Northern Kentucky that's sort of been around the same echelon as the Colonials have been this season. Colonials, they will have home cooking. Granted, no fans there, but still getting back home, getting a week of practice in. Hopefully they don't shut down again. Should be good for this team, and it's not going to be like where they have to fly to Chicago and they have the plane legs for the first game of the series and get dominated like they did last week. They're going to come home. They're going to have a week of practice. They're going to be ready to go on Friday night and Saturday night. Yeah, presents an adjustment. If they do lose the game on Friday, they'll have the film to look at, and they'll be able to pinpoint what the problems are out there and maybe be able to win that one too.
I think Coach Sewell's going to have these guys ready. I think they're going to go 2-0. I think the margins are going to be pretty slim and being able to win both games. But I think that this team is starting to get a little battle-tested. They're starting to figure themselves out a little bit. And even though you got to get a little bit more contributions from some of the guys like John Williams and Dante Tracy, I feel like this is going to be a big stepping stone for RMU in the Horizon League. And, you know, I think that it's very possible that they could either put themselves on the map or they could drop even farther in the standings to the point where no one's even keeping their eyes on them as a potential threat for the NEC tournament or the Horizon League tournament after winning the NEC tournament last season. But this does it for another episode of the Tool Shed. We are on the Colonial Sports Network and also now on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in this week, and we will see you after RMU battles Northern Kentucky at 3-5, 2-3 in the Horizon League, looking to improve on that record.